DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am Dan, that's James, and today we not only have our Sam. We potentially might have our Jim, but more importantly,
God, that was
to the
such
point,
a throwaway.
I know. Well, you know,
did you give Sam her due?
Sam knows that she's the only real talent on this fucking show. You know, taking her down a notch is okay.
Sam, what do you have to say about that?
I'm never down a notch. My ego's too big.
Atta girl.
I was expecting to fuck you, Danny, but that's
that's acceptable. So today, we are overjoyed to have all the peoples from All Things E.
Yes, we are overjoyed, but you and I have a bone to pick with them.
We do, because there's some discrepancies that have been floating around the interwebs as of late.
So, if you subscribe to All Things E, and you should.
You damn should.
You really should. They posted a video 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
As of the recording of this podcast, that featured two members of this podcast, but it wasn't really two members of this podcast.
No, and they couldn't even, you know, get my look right. I mean,
so, Dante, since you were the one who booked it and performed said interview,
what do you have to say for yourself, sir?
How did you not know it was us?
Like, number one, okay, I have a cold, so I sound a little funny today, but I will let you know right now, the only thing I know about that shit show was that all my Golden Girl stuff was taken afterwards. So maybe you have some explaining to do, sir.
Well,
everything except for what Mittens was chewing on the other day.
Right. Minus the Pop Funkos, my plushies were gone, my stickers were gone, my Betty White blow-up doll. I didn't say that. That was wrong, too.
A significant amount of our valuable things were either missing or purposely destroyed after you got... I mean, I know it's... There's been some rat problems, but it's all...
Problems?
It's all
I think
impersonation,
it's
sir. Deformation of character, sir.
Now, I will say that I think I know where the Betty White blow-up doll is. Danny has had
really?
A smile on his face that is oddly...
Hey, I got my own, thank you very much.
Now you do.
It's deflated on a ceiling fan somewhere.
She's more duct tape than rubber now, but you know, do what you gotta do.
It doesn't matter. These two ones are just the same.
She's still got that beautiful face.
Yep.
And actually, the extra wrinkles make her a little more attractive, you know what I mean?
A little bit. I mean, you know.
Okay, well, that's...
We're diving deep here, boys.
Sorry, Terry. Look. There,
this got
guys,
awkwardly
been...
hot.
Awkward.
So, guys, there has been maybe... There was an assumption, maybe, that... We just thought there was something wrong with you guys, like most celebrities, and that you were maybe didn't actually know what was going on.
Well, that's a safe assumption.
That's a safe assumption. Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know how I would actually react to being properly interviewed. So, I mean,
well, and much less being in Dante's room where all the magic happens.
Yeah, with the Betty White blow up doll. I don't know if I'd call it magic so much as abuse.
The magic and the horror show.
Well, yes, we do a zombie themed show that is a horror show, so I understand what you're saying. So,
nice recovery. Uh-huh.
Nice save.
Dante's Dark Fantasies Chapter 1.
His Dark Materials.
And I feel for Snark because his bedroom is right across from Not that I know where Snark's bedroom is, having never been down there. but I feel like it's right across, and he has to listen.
Tell me about Garkonnenokin again. Shane Olaf!
The sound of squeaky rubber.
I mean, there's been some dark stuff.
To the tune of, thank you for being a friend.
I don't think Dante would sing.
No, he'd have it playing in the background.
It's on a constant loop, actually, in my room. I just turn it off when we start the show.
Thank you for being a friend.
That's right. Now I can do the whole thing.
You know, I imagine he has like a dubstep version of it.
The remix.
He has an entire playlist.
So Many Seasons of Betty White is that playlist title.
Yes.
Nothing's hotter than felt on rubber.
Well, you know, it's better than sandpaper, to guess.
That's fair. That's fair.
Or matted fur.
That is true as well. So, yeah, I guess, look, I came on a little strong at the start of this interview. I was mildly embarrassed. I think it may be unfortunate to say that maybe we mistook several rats stacked up on each other as Danny and James, and I would like to formally apologize.
No, okay, look, it's going to be okay, because there's really a big conspiracy going on, Dante. And you want to know what it is?
You fill me in, brother.
Oh, yeah, dude. So I found that video I was telling you about earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So are you at a computer? Yeah.
I can be available for one, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you're going to go to here, I'll share it in the Skype chat so that people can take a look at this.
I'm waiting because this is going to be good.
Oh, dang it. Oh, God.
It fucking better be good.
Snark, you're not gonna announce something on a podcast that would
be... No, wait, dude. I'm just saying. Oh, okay, good. Saying. I just want you to see this. And
oh, where'd it go?
The skeezier, the better.
It's like in the corner, right behind the teamwork a little bit. Just look there.
Oh, I don't...
What's happening?
We're not getting it over
here. Wait, Curtis.
There we go.
Here we go. Okay.
Pull that bad boy up, James, so we can watch this debauchery. What you got for us, Big Cheese?
Man, this is an old one.
I gotta see this.
So for those
of you... Look, there's our buddies.
Aw.
For those of you who are not in our call right now, Snark has shared a episode of All Things Z that apparently has some unfortunate bloopers in it.
Yeah, it's called The Big Plan.
I'll tell him.
The Big Plan.
I can remove it, Dad. Shush.
But yeah, just play that video. Just play that video right from, where does it say? From 49 seconds. You see, there's a thing right behind that teamwork sign. What the? What is that? What is that?
49 seconds.
This might be ruining the magic, Dad.
Is this it right here?
What is it?
The purple thing?
No, man. No, not in front of, behind. Just look like right next to Snark. Like, play it from 49 seconds, and just, it's like, it's a few seconds in. Look, yeah, it's that brown, weird-looking brown and white thing. See that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that will haunt my dreams for years.
Yeah, what is that? It's got to be the same thing that's affecting the rats, dude.
That's probably. It's probably at least one rat is controlled by him.
I don't know what it is, man, but it's weirding me out.
Well, I feel like they gave you the answer to all your problems, though.
It did appear that they were...
I feel like that you now have a way to rid yourself of the rats.
Well, we ended up doing, at great risk to ourselves, actually, we captured a neighborhood cat, and we have confined him in our home, and he is keeping the rats out. So that's exciting.
Yeah, you want to know what else he's doing? He's peeing on everything!
Yes, there is a certain aroma around our home now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Terry, that's what cats do.
Yeah, it's kind of in their nature. Yeah.
As we're recording this, my cat is peeing on everything. It just peed on Danny.
Yeah.
At least it's consistent.
And the first time I was really disappointed, but the second time I'm kind of getting into it.
Well.
It's like cheesing, bro.
It's
their own,
I suppose.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an easy swing.
You know, that's the second time you've upset Snark.
That's what I do. That is what I do. I'm sorry, buddy.
He's a sensitive little flower, so it's not really that hard.
A delicate flower.
A delicate furry flower.
Mm-hmm. So soft, so plushy.
So like are we sure that we're talking to James and Danny and not Rat James?
That's a good question.
Point,
you don't
they're
know.
They're secret rat moles. They're mole rats. They're, they've been planted to spy on
here's,
us.
Here's a question I want to know. Dante, have you found the head that the rat used that was Danny? Because that rat seemed to love holding on to that head.
Sadly sure to say, it is still MIA. So I have not seen it.
Although I found the hand.
Snark found the hand, so that's good.
What, what have you done with that
what
hand?
What have you done with that
hand? He has used it for a myriad of things.
Remember how I said dark things happen in my room sometimes?
Danny's head is also deflated on a ceiling fan somewhere.
Right next to the Betty White blow up.
Yep.
I heard Snark the other day say, it doesn't feel like your own hand if it's somebody else's.
The old stranger, but definitely taken up a notch. Well done there,
it's,
buddy.
It's a classic.
Oh, no. I don't know where to go with this.
At this point, we just keep doubling down, bro.
At this point, I'm all in, so why not?
Yeah, fuck it. Rat James Handy is handing it out to Lawson.
We were up here. We were still waiting for the invite.
Yeah, totally.
Like, we had discussed, but no date was actually set. So this leads me to believe that not only did the rats
hack our accounts
and build suits of us, but they're monitoring everything we say.
Excuse me?
What? That is not good.
Shut up.
Carrie, what have you been talking about that you're so, like, on edge about?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
All right. I feel like there's more there. Snark, as a father, I feel like you need to press your daughter more.
She's been pressed enough. I'll handle this on my own, thank you.
You got to be careful with Terry. If you make her mad, she jumps in her shell.
Yeah, I do.
Come on, Terry.
We're all friends here.
This is a safe space.
I don't know if Dad can handle it, though. He gets really, like, stressed out about this stuff.
He'll be fine.
The monster has a human hand that he's using for unknown purposes. I think he can handle anything
hand,
you can
that's
say.
My property. I'll determine what I want to do with it, okay? They lost it. They left
it.
He
doesn't really want to talk about what I do with my hands.
Whoa.
Okay, that is not okay.
Whoa, this went to a weird place.
All right, family counseling, here we go.
I mean, she is a ninja. I mean, she's got to do something with those hands, right? Mm-hmm, or otherwise she wouldn't be a ninja.
Oh, okay.
Damn, Skippy.
Well, shit.
You know, we never did solve the question of whether or not you and I are actually you and I.
Look, all I'm saying is you guys had problems getting on the show tonight, and, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's the thing. They couldn't have log in. Yeah, that was
damn down
better.
Points.
Why would they not be able to log into their own accounts?
Would you knock him out?
Dude, seriously. God, do something. He's gonna
kill us. Do you have them tied up in a corner somewhere, you rats?
What?
No,
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 no, no. Rats can't tie humans up.
It's the cat.
It's totally
Gagner.
Do rats have opposable thumbs?
They got little scaly ones.
When you're puppeting, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they totally have it when they're wearing human skin. I mean, they can have the option to have. It's evolution.
It's evolution.
In a day?
Sounds like magic to me.
Magic's real.
It is real.
Correct.
Tacos are magical too.
Are we talking about Magic the Gathering? Because I do agree with
that. Yeah, I mean, yes.
Okay, who wants tacos? I want tacos.
Tacos!
No, these are the rats. These look.
Oh my God!
What? How dare you, sir?
Bring my friends back.
You have
Samantha,
no friends.
You're a real person, right? You're not a rat in disguise.
I am not a rat in disguise.
Okay,
that
good.
I am aware of.
No rats want to go where Sam is.
Disguise.
That's exactly what a rat in disguise would say.
I mean, that's not wrong.
Well, my dog is snuggling on me. I have two terriers. If I was a rat in disguise, I'm pretty sure they'd attack me.
Unless they're rat terriers.
And unless you're feeding them.
That was good.
So I think I'm okay.
I smell a rat.
I smell a big rat.
You could
clean a person and a rat in disguise.
No.
I don't know what that test is.
It's not even possible.
Okay, this has been fun. It really has. But honestly,
I think we've pulled this one to its fullest point.
I was going to go totally the thing with it. I was like, so we get a hot wire.
Give me the fuck on this couch!
You've gotta be fucking kidding.
See, there's an episode you guys can do.
Fucking Palmer.
Oh, I wish we'd thought of that when we were down there.
Oh, damn it. There's always.
Well, you know what? When Sam comes out here for the visit, we can do a follow up where we do test to make sure you guys are who you say you are.
It's just Samantha there, and they're like, "Nope, we're not taking chance. She's tied up."
This is bullshit.
Like the last time, these guys were rats.
Get me off this fucking couch.
I don't know what you are.
That would just be hysterical watching Samantha going, "Get me off this fucking couch." And then she, "You're okay, Snark."
What's going on here?
You got any?
You're really good at tying.
You tied a really good knot, Snark.
I make a little tighter.
And Snark just like,
no.
I'm sorry, dude. Auto asphyxiation is going to cost you extra.
Well played. Well played.
I usually charge extra for this sort of thing.
And I'm pretty sure this is not covered on your life insurance policy, so taking your life into your own hands here.
Love
and
it.
Penny walks in and is like, "What the hell is happening here?"
Just put him just off, like, I can explain.
See, we were testing for rats, and we weren't sure, and
oh,
she
like,
got
I haven't
into
heard
it.
That a million look, times.
God look, damn it.
Look, guys, it's fine. I am where practicality ends and hedonism begins. It's fine.
I almost spit all over my computer.
Almost gave James a spit take. Nicely done. Nicely done.
Yeah. You know.
No, I'm gonna say straight up, we had so much fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
Going down there, not just filming with you guys, but just hanging out afterwards and BSing and having a beer. You guys made us feel so welcome.
Thank you for that.
So thank you, and just seeing how you guys create, seeing the behind the scenes, as it were, the process,
the magic.
It was honestly very fascinating and
hell yeah,
just so much fun. Can't wait to do it again.
No shit.
What are you guys doing next week?
Well, in a couple weeks, you guys are coming down and building rats with
hell me. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
So
matter of fact, not this week, but next week. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. 15, right?
Yeah. No, it's going to be awesome. And again, thank you very much for having us down there and just to hang with you and be on the show and everything. I had way too much fucking fun. It was awesome.
Yeah, the whole
was,
way
it was
back.
Great having you guys down. Thank you so much. We had a lot of fun too.
Well, that's good. That means we're welcome back.
For now.
That's right.
And
I had a blast.
Right up until Dante realizes I took his Betty White blow up.
Next time.
Well, that's a follow up episode. You come back on and you give it back.
A little used, but you know.
We never see it, but there's just a lot of shame in your eyes. And just like,
it's a token offering.
No shame. There is no shame about what it partook between this magical piece of rubber and myself.
It's shame that you stole from a friend.
That's
the most egregious part.
That's fair. You know,
I think that would be a really funny episode. Just the awkwardness of the fact that you took it.
I have needs too.
And the awkwardness that he has to take it back.
And what gets even weirder is when he openly wants to take it back. It's like, all right.
No, I think the conflict is he wants it back, but he knows what you did to it.
The duct tape speaks for itself.
You can.
That wasn't even a natural opening. What is that all about?
I'm really big into incisions. Yeah, I got a new from someone.
But the top of the foot? I'm not even understanding the bottom of the foot. That's a thing. But for the top?
Hey, you do things your way, I'll do mine.
Yes.
I think it'd be great if, like, the after scene, a snark comes in. And, hey, what's the... Oh, my God!
She's back! Thank you for being a friend.
Snark and Betty White lock eyes. The scene comes on. Uh-huh.
I love it.
See, then you play thank you for being a friend, but then it slows down a lot. It's like, thank you for being a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
He dives on it like a fat kid dives into cake.
Oh, no, I need to pull out a flamethrower and getting rid of it once and for all.
You're gonna die!
Yeah.
You'll never look at me like that again!
You'll never look at anyone like that again! Snark? Snark, why is the smoke alarm going off?
Revenge! You'll never hurt me ever again.
I appreciate how Snark thinks we would trust him with a flamethrower.
I don't need your permission. All I need is a lighter from the gas station and some ice purple alcohol.
There you go. Homemade
pouring more alcohol on it, weeping.
Yeah, money spray.
You'll never hurt anyone ever again.
Wow.
Welcome back to the show, by the way, guys.
We really have missed you guys.
Really have.
We missed you guys, too.
No, I'll shut.
You know, every once in a while, we'll do an episode where it's an actual like episode of All Things Z where Dante's trying to prep people for the zombie apocalypse. And we'll do like how to make pepper spray or how to make hard tack. Maybe that's the next one we need to do is anything's a flamethrower.
Hey, yeah, actually, yeah. That's a great idea for a monster that's covered in fur.
Yeah.
Teach kids how to make Molotov cocktails. I think that's a valuable skill.
Homemade napalm.
Oh, man, we are skating that line with YouTube so right.
Well, and that's something that we talked about afterwards, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that you actually brought that up, Austin. You guys are dealing with a lot with these new regulations with YouTube.
Being a dick.
Right?
Yeah. David had to put in a whole new bit at the beginning of the videos.
Yeah.
To showcase this is not intended for dumb children. I mean young children.
Young children.
Kind of the same
thing. Kind of the same
thing. It's really redundant. In a way, though, it kind of decided a question for us that, like, all the time when we were advertising, even at like cons and stuff, you know, people will come up and we'll try and get them to watch the show. And people genuinely have the question because there's puppets involved with like, is this cool for my kids? And we've been kind of like, yeah, kind of like it depends on what kind of a parent you are is really
right. Yeah. Watch it first.
I always tell them it's a solid PG-13 and for them to watch a few episodes before they put it for their kids.
Yeah.
No, that's smart.
Yeah, because there's one episode YouTube that stands out in my mind that, no, not for kids at all.
Well, yeah, and the YouTube drug trials basically like put the big rubber stamp on it for us in a way. They're basically saying you have to stand on one side of this line, otherwise you will not go forward as a channel. So that way now we can tell our audience with confidence what kind of content we're producing, and now the content's going to change because we know what our rules are.
That's fair.
That's really awesome, and it's awesome that you guys are continuing, because you were telling us that there was, you guys had a serious conversation about if it continues
where this was going to go.
Yeah,
yeah, David, you were pretty nervous, weren't you?
Well, there was a point where you're kind of like, I mean, so ultimately, you know, I do a couple different things on that show, but I think the main thing I do is I produce that show. So, you know, I perform Dante and I edit the videos, but. You know, one of the main things I do is make sure that that show goes up at least once a week. And so one of the things that was concerning to me was when they first came out with these new laws, they were saying, look, if you're making content that you're saying is not for kids, but we determine that it is for kids, you will be fined in the neighborhood of $40,000 per infraction.
Yeah, and that was also the initial fear. I think there's been clarification since then where they're like, guys, we're not going to bring the ban hammer down on you just because you made something that could be construed for children. We get that it's nuanced. But people have also made opposing arguments that say that these trade commissions and these federal arms are so out of touch with modern technology that – I don't remember where I heard it from, but he was like, some of these people don't own cell phones. Like, that's how out of touch they are with where the modern world is.
The Facebook hearings.
Oh, right.
Well, and the government overreach on the internet, I think, especially with something like YouTube, because YouTube isn't just in this country.
No.
I mean, that's international. And how does our country regulate something that's international?
Yeah,
I guess at that rate, they would basically bring fault to the company. And since the company, as far as I understand, was started in the U.S., the company itself falls under the regulations by default. So they would hold YouTube accountable for anything that they were allowing on their company website. It would basically be like a trickle down effect. So the government hits YouTube, YouTube hits the user. You know, so it's basically ding, ding, ding.
YouTube could argue that, yes, the company started in America, but it's gone global at this point.
True. Yeah.
So, by rights, I think it would be under international statutes.
Law.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I don't know what international statutes of decency are.
I would say that there's a lot of gray area for the rules that they're trying to set down at this point, just because there is so much content on YouTube and so much of it comes from outside of the U.S. that it's almost impossible to track every instance down unless somebody flags, tags, and fucking reports a video or some shit like that. YouTube has to go through the motions. I mean, shit. Fucking one of my bands that I listen to on YouTube, Psycho Stick, they had a song called N-O-E-L, which was a parody of System of a Down's B-Y-O-B.
Yeah.
And it was for Christmas. And apparently they got hit with a report saying this song was ripping off Freebird from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
What?
And they were like, well, we went ahead and contested it. And according to YouTube, we're wrong. Apparently this song is a ripoff of Freebird. Okay. And it's like, the fuck?
Well, so the way it works, we actually recently had an issue with something similar, and I actually did some research on it. So in the beginning of the Rat series, model that we used for the start of this storyline was the Nutcracker, because there's a character falls asleep and she goes to the, I don't know, like whatever, Christmas tree land.
Yeah.
But there's an army of rats that they fight.
Yeah.
And so in the early episodes of the Rat series, which was most was through December, I found this like kind of trash. Like, now I'm gonna get in trouble. This kind of trash.
Speak free, bud.
Thank you. This sort of trash, like techno remix of a one of the songs from Nutcracker. I think it's the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. And it's so bad. I was like, oh, this, of course, this is like Dante's favorite version of this thing. Because Dante is like the epitome of bad taste. And so I figured, well, I'm probably fine because that music is under, you know, it's fair use now. It's no longer copyright protected. So I put a 33 second clip of it in our video. And basically the way YouTube works is anything that has any kind of attention to it, starts paying attention to. And so for whatever reason, that video got like 300 or 400 views on it pretty quickly. And within 24 hours of that video going up, I received a notification from the company that published that particular version of the Nutcracker, saying that they were putting a claim on the video. It's not so YouTube, a couple of things can happen. If someone just puts a claim on the video and there's no kind of like copyright on it, then basically any money that you make on that video, if you're making money, goes to the person who owns it, which is kind of dumb anyways, because that video,
we're not monetized.
Right.
Fuckers.
Right. So
back the wrong pony.
Double birds, but, bitches, double birds.
Peace among right? worlds.
But so then I was like, how the hell did that, like, you know, within 24 hours, how did this kind of, you know, I looked up the company. They're a small kind of like, you know, they're like a small publisher. How do they find us? Because we're not big by any means. But I got looking into it. And so what YouTube does is YouTube has a couple different like programs that kind of runs in the background. And they look for things like music and they try to find similarities to it. And then they through AI go and match it up with the publicist. So it's sort of this weird thing where I think YouTube is trying to stay above the board on that kind of stuff. But because of that, it's artificial intelligence that's not very good. I mean, originally when this first came out with COPPA, they were like, well, we're going to have a bot that's going to determine whether your content is child appropriate or not.
Well, and that's dangerous.
And a lot of the creators kind of freaked out about it because those bots for YouTube are notoriously terrible.
So, oh yeah, they can't detect nuance and satire, yep. And you know, so they can't detect, yeah.
There are some really interesting videos that have been produced about how we don't understand AI and how it's built and used and how it perceives our world because it's making more decisions for us. So
that's terrifying. Anybody.
Well, yeah, I, for exactly. one, welcome our robot overlords, and when Skynet does go online, I will be sad to see all of you go.
We'll be the first one. Skynet's going to be like, the puppets are terrifying. Get rid of them.
You'll literally
be
a puppet,
being absorbed into the face of the Terminator, and as one single tear drips down his face as he's... he's absorbed.
But I supported you. No.
Yeah.
No, I think it's we are at this point of saturation with political correctness and everyone worrying about offending people, and honestly, I think it's bullshit. I think we're grown-ups.
Agreed.
I think we can decide for ourselves what we enjoy we don't, and I think if we don't like something,
don't fucking watch it.
Don't push it on other people.
Well, and part of the problem with that, and why there was that whole big apocalypse and whatnot, is because, and not to say that, you know, you can't use all the tools available to you as a parent, but people were just basically putting screens in front of the kids and hitting autoplay on YouTube, and then they'd end up watching like Anna gets impregnated by Spider-Man or something like that. And it's, you know, this crazy ass stuff.
That's a video?
Wait, back up.
Can you link me that?
Can you send that?
I'll send you the link, no worries. It's in my liked videos. I'll send it to you.
Sweet. Nice. Appreciate that, Tracy. Thank you so much.
Bookmark the fuck out of that.
Yeah, like, please tell me you guys have actually heard of this. It's really, it's like fucking the creepiest.
Yeah,
of the real world.
Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And that's part of why Adpocalypse happened in the first place. Parents will just like set it down in front of their kids and be like, go nuts, and just leave them there watching YouTube all day. And it's like, you also have to take responsibility for parenting your child. I get that, you know, parenting is overwhelming. Life is big. I get it. But also, you can't get angry at, you know, grown adults making content on a platform that's meant for original content, and it doesn't happen to fit your tiny little, you know, space of morality, and then your kid watched it on accident, and now Million Moms is marching against us or something. I don't know.
Well, and what's weird about it, too, and this is something that I've always thought was kind of silly. I mean, YouTube, on the whole, is an artistic platform.
It should be.
Not anymore.
Well,
it kind of is still. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are things like how-tos and stuff like that, but there are still music videos. There's still original content and things of that sort. So for me, I always saw YouTube as an artistic outlet. And it'd be kind of like, you know, and I know they are, but it'd be like a group of mothers going to the art museum and frowning upon the Venus de Milo because we can see her tats. And it's like, well. Yeah.
Venus had tats?
Yeah. Fucking sick ones, bro.
She had a tramp stamp.
Oh, it was awesome. But you know what I mean, though? It's like, it becomes silly. It's like, guys, you got to understand, an art form is an art form and should be appreciated for what it is. Now, granted, whether or not it's good or not, that's up to the viewer and the audience in general, at large. TV is somewhere that's a bit more controlled. We've regulated the ever-living shit out of it because it was not really an artistic means so much as it was an advertising means.
Yeah.
So... there's a part where we have to separate the artistic aspects of a website in this particular sense and back the fuck off and go, you know what? If I'm not cool with my kids exposed to the majority of this, hey, guess what? I need to parent them.
But that's what Austin was saying. YouTube has essentially become television.
Essentially, yes.
It's an advertisement space now. And the split you're talking about is literally the content producers and the users and like the content platform that is YouTube, because the users and the creators are the ones who are putting the art part that you're talking about. But YouTube itself is not about
it's a machine.
It's not about putting good artists in front of people who they will make an impact. It's not about talking about the right things that people need to be talking about at the time. It's about what will sell. It's just another media system, and you can't look at it like it's going to be some that's what we had originally as the view of something like the internet, and we project it onto YouTube, is that like it's the thing that changed the world, it connected everybody. But the problem is that there's still the underlying thing of us that like projected onto this, that they're like, it's still about making money. It's always about making money.
Well, and you know, the thing is that there's also this sort of piece that's also YouTube kind of self-regulating. So, you know, I think we talked about this when you guys were down here. We did an episode. It was an improv episode because like we said before, a lot of what we do is scripted. My wife writes the scripts and she's amazing, and then we tweak them. But we still do some improv every once in a while. And there was a point where Angel was out of town or something, and so Austin came over. Tracy was out of town, I think, as well. But Austin came over and we improvised this bit where Snark went to the dark web to try to order an AK-47 or something like that.
Yes.
And then,
I love that episode. That.
Yeah. And then I think – I don't quite remember what happened, but I think what ended up happening is like they start noticing weird things on their computer. And then they go, oh, my God, I think the FBI has tapped our computer. And so – you know, originally we had decided we were going to have like funny things happening on the monitor. So as the audience is watching it, it's like the computer's been infected with some kind of virus. But about midway through the editing of that process, I realized, shit, we're saying guns, we're saying dark web, we're saying all of these words that I know are no-nos on YouTube.
Triggered.
Right? Well, it's not even that so much, but if the algorithm catches those words, it buries it and nobody sees it.
Yep.
I think that is the fundamental problem with what's happening with YouTube, is that They're using AI, which is a technology that we do not fundamentally understand, to teach it how to regulate content. But you are not giving the rules of that content creation to the content creators, meaning there is a gray zone where they don't know whether or not their video is going to make it to the masses, because YouTube is not telling them when they're going to get knocked down. And that's the problem, is that that creates an inherent distrust, and they don't recognize and acknowledge it, I think.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's the key going forward. I think it would be great if YouTube sent out something to the creators, to the, you know, everyone who has a channel and is providing content, and says in black and white, with no gray areas, this is what we look for. This is what's not okay, and that sort of thing. But the thing is they have to keep putting that out, because as the AI learns and as they teach the AI more, that stuff changes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, again, you know, what they've been talking about too, I mean, the idea of the nuance of the situation, yeah, they could be cracking jokes about the dark web and, you know, an AK-47 and shit like that. And I totally understand how the AI would pick up on that and go, nope.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing. It's in the form of a joke. It's satire. It's making, it's cracking shit at. Exactly. And that's the big problem we have. It can't tell the difference between a joke and somebody talking shit.
Right. And, you know, I'm a pretty big First Amendment advocate, but I also understand there's a point where it's like, I don't want, you know, there's a lot of really messed up people in this world, and making it harder for them to do the terrible things that they may be thinking about is always good.
Right.
So, like that blanketed statement said, at the same time, you know, as we are a silly, goofy YouTube channel that makes, you know, dick and fart jokes 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But I think underneath what we do, there is a lot of current about kind of, I do a lot of satire about what's going on in the YouTube community. You know, we talk about stuff that's in our society that's kind of screwy to us. And so, you know, it's important to us that when we create something, even if it's full of, you know, dick and fart jokes, we have the ability to sort of express it and then not feel like our message isn't being seen by our subscribers. Right. And, you know, the thing that ultimately at the end of the day what bothers me about those kinds of things is I get that, okay, you know, we're not going to push that out to the masses, but if someone has taken the time to hit that subscribe button, they should get a notification when I put something out because they want to see my content. But if there's something that YouTube says, oh, this is dangerous content, and there's no sort of interaction with it other than what that clumsy AI says, and my art doesn't get out to those people, then that's kind of shitty, you know?
Agreed.
Are they blocking notifications for subscribers?
Well, what happens, and I've seen this because I watch a lot of kind of those – they put out videos all the time, kind of, and it's trashy, but I totally watch the drama channels, and it's
nothing wrong with that.
All over. But they're always talking about, because a lot of the stuff they're talking about like the Onision drama, where he's being called editor and a groomer and like all that stuff, and they can't say the words. They have to like bleep out the words, because if they say the words, they get flagged, and they're like, I'm hearing from my subscribers that they're not getting notifications be sure to hit the bell, because if you don't hit the bell, if you're not part of the quote unquote notification squad, you're not going to get notifications, even if you're subscribed. So it's really overbearing, and it's frightening for people that are like, say me, like I'm a even being a quote unquote YouTuber, which still feels weird to call myself that. I'm a lay person when it comes to it. And it just, I'm sometimes listening to them kind of riff, and I'm like, maybe not that word, because I don't know what's going to hit.
Well, and Tracy, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, a lot of YouTubers are lay people when it comes to this stuff. You know, YouTube for them is a platform that they can
do their thing,
put their art on. Yeah, you know, and maybe make a little money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into it without looking into the regulations, and maybe they put something up and suddenly their video's buried, and it's potentially, you know, it's money lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to the fact that they don't know, because YouTube doesn't say.
And I feel bad for you guys in general, because it's like, you know, for this podcast, we can come on here and talk all the horrendous shit we feel necessary. And it's rather liberating. And I feel bad because it's like when you guys are actually trying to produce real content, you're so governed by unrealistic rules.
Don't worry, the government's coming for us soon.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's fair.
You just wait.
Yeah, we're on a few.
It's not going to end at YouTube. It's gonna move to Instagram. You know, because Instagram has a lot of shit show content.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to move to Instagram next, I feel.
Well,
I think it's going to signal a big change in all of social media platforms and distributed tech at large, that it's not going to be long before a lot of people start looking at how they have a relationship with their technology and the way in which it interacts with them and go, like, is this really valuable and helpful to us, or is this just the same stuff we've had for a really long time that doesn't serve anyone?
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun.
See, we're in an interesting situation where, because we place our podcast on a website I own, but we also place it on iTunes. Now, if iTunes decides one day that they're not going to have explicit content of any kind, and they dump 7 billion frickin' podcasts
on top of 7 billion songs and artists.
We still have our own website. Now, unless rules change, it's a website I own.
Right.
And no one can say what content I put on there.
Right.
Until they get to the hosting site.
Yeah.
But at that point, if the hosting site bends and says, yeah, we're not going to... The hosting site's starts losing money, because then I find a hosting site that will host my content.
Exactly. And at that rate, they're going to start making a hell of a lot more money than the previous one, because all those people that the hosting site kicked off are probably going to the same fucking site saying,
yeah, so,
hey,
I mean,
you guys are cool.
At this point, the hosting site has no say in what kind of... All they do is they take my money once a year and provide me with tech support when I need it.
Yep.
Well, there are already new websites coming out as social media platforms that will not censor your content. So there's already people trying to be the new YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
this won't happen, but
well, the thing is it might. You never know. I mean,
of course Twitter doesn't censor content, do they?
No.
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they now, this has been a couple years, they now look for hate speech.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they will censor and block hate speech.
Okay.
I don't know what the algorithms are. I don't use Twitter nearly as much as I used to.
I actually despise Twitter
wholeheartedly. Yeah, and it really came from the 2016 election. That's when they really started cracking down on that.
No, and that makes sense.
Gee,
but honestly,
I wonder why.
Yeah, no shit. But for me, honestly, I never liked Twitter because I for anybody who follows me on Facebook or has been a friend of mine for a long time, you know that I very seldomly will post anything. I'll post pictures. I'll post. I'll share links, you know, to stuff I feel is important. But honestly, I very seldomly will ever actually write down a post and be like, I'm feeling so-and-so today. I very seldomly do, and it's not that I don't want you guys to know what's going on in my brain. I just never feel like it's that fucking important to write down. So Twitter, to me, was just like, okay, so what do I do here? Fuck this.
I got on board Twitter because at the time, it was a good promotion tool for things I was doing, but I've since just... Twitter is a lot of work.
I like Instagram for the pretty pictures.
It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I post on Facebook
the shit out of Sam.
Not regularly, but enough that it's like, it's usually something fun. If I'm posting something personal, it's usually something big. Today, for instance.
Yeah, you like to vague book a little bit.
I really do.
Yeah, you definitely leave out all the juicy details, but definitely give us a good feeling of where you're at.
And
you're a vague booker.
And it's not on purpose, but it's when I do it, it's because I'm feeling passionate about whatever it is, but I don't want to call out people.
Yeah, you don't want to throw bones. You just want to get what you're thinking out.
And a lot of times, like today, for instance, it's a matter of if I don't get this out, I'm going to internalize it, and that's bad for me. So And it's never about, oh, pay attention to me. I don't even care about that.
Nobody follows you, James. It's okay.
I've got a post that says differently. So, but Facebook started out with in that mold. It's like, this is a place where people can go and do whatever.
Talk and do. And
when they monetized it, when they put it up on the stock exchange, it changed.
Right.
Radically it changed.
Well, that's how it works, though. I mean, that's why all those web designers were so gung-ho to try to find the next big thing, because it's not a matter of, let's give the internet something wonderful that it will help, you know, propel humanity into the future. No, I'm just trying to make this bitch so people like it enough so I can sell it.
Well, and the thing, and that's the thing, too, and Facebook's become such a cesspool.
Oh, yeah. Well, all social media is kind of sassy.
But see, and that's the thing. I think
it's a little stank.
I think if someone were to sit down and put together a Facebook-like social page that doesn't allow political crap, that doesn't allow hate, and just tries to find an algorithm that keeps it the way Facebook used to be, when it was like all about, you know, here's what I'm doing, and oh, I haven't seen this friend in a while.
Well, that's kind of what Instagram is for the most part. I mean, people take pictures and they're like, outside having coffee, yay! You know, it's like, it's nice and it's fun, and I don't have a problem with Instagram so much because, again, it's just that there's such the pretty picture, Sam. But
he's bookmarked everyone.
Every fucking one of them. Give me some new content, Sam.
That there's never going to be a social media platform that supplants just actual interpersonal community. Like, that's part of the reason why human beings use it the way that they do. But in a way, it doesn't fill that void like we want it to. And that's part of the reason why it's kind of an ineffective way of, like, venting and,
you know,
releasing that stuff.
Well, and that's why we have this
audience. That's true, but.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you're absolutely right, because honestly, social media at this point is kind of become a place where people can just offload their negativity, essentially, and, you know, feel like they get vindicated for it, or not vindicated, but supported, you know. The one thing I've come to find that I know this is going to sound kind of old and fuddy-duddy, but honestly, most of the
grandpa.
Time...
Shut up.
One of the things that I've come to appreciate in my life is a good long conversation face-to-face with somebody. Now, I know that sounds stupid, and I know it sounds silly, but...
You write letters, too?
There's this... Yes? Samurai with that guy where he's like, this has been a very good conversation.
Last Samurai.
But he's like, I appreciate a long conversation.
I do. Because honestly, it's one of those things where I actually, I have a buddy who I hang out with weekly, and that's all we do for like a good, we're only really supposed to be hanging out because we're doing laundry while we're having these conversations. We meet up at the same laundromat. But we end up...
You can say his name. He's been on the show.
That's true. Yeah, it's Travis. And it's one of those things where, you know, we'll go up there, and it only takes like maybe 2 hours to do laundry, give or take, depending on what machines are up.
But you guys are there 6-7 hours.
Dude, yeah. We'll usually stand there for 5-7 hours just shooting the shit. And we talk about everything from... You know, personal issues to movie theories, I mean, music loves.
That's awesome.
Just stupid shit. And it's so wonderful. At the end of Sunday, both him and I leave and we're like, fuck, that was awesome. I can't wait for next week.
Oh, yeah.
And I find more joy in those 6 hours of conversation than I do scrolling through social media. And most of the time, that's 100%. Why it's very limited.
Well, and that's the thing. Social media will never replace...
A good conversation.
A good conversation.
It's in there now.
But we've become, I think as a society, we've become so disconnected by becoming connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's a comedian that David Austin and I are huge fans of. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. He's called Randy Feltface.
Oh.
And he's actually a puppet comedian, so nice. Obviously he speaks to us on a soul deep level, but he has a thing, a bit in one in his special that's called Randy Wright's Book, which is on YouTube, and you should check it out if you have not. It's amazing.
Yes.
But he says that the thing about social media is humans are tribal, so we are supposed to have like this immediate 150 people that that's like our max of people that we can like interact with on like a good, strong, meaningful basis, like 150 max. And he said that now we have these hundreds and hundreds of friends on, you know, Facebook and Instagram, and you know, we're paying so much attention to those several hundred online that we are neglecting our immediate 150. Which is what he calls it, like the people that you actually see in person.
Right.
So it was really interesting to kind of see how we don't realize, like the first time I listened to it, I totally had one of those like light bulb moments. I was like, shit. You called out. Okay, got it. So, you know, it's really fascinating to kind of see it laid out like that. And he also said things like about Instagram, for instance. He's like, basically what you're doing is you take a picture of your face, post it online, sit back and wait for validation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you want that validation. You want to give someone else validation so you have an excuse to go online, post a picture of your face, sit back and wait for validation. And it's kind of like, it's, you know, it's nice to actually have a face-to-face with a person. So uh-huh. It's, you know, I've been trying to be better about like making plans with friends and actually following through, like we're gonna go get coffee and just hang out for a couple hours, like isn't that fun?
Right.
And you know, I always feel like I need like and it seems so sad, but it's like I feel like I need a like little gold star medal for, you know, adulting. I've made plans and actually went and did it.
Well, you know, good job.
Well, Tracy, you get a gold star today.
How's yes that? You do. Gold stars all around.
Well, you know, it's something we've talked about on this show several times. It's one of the things that I look forward to the most. And while Samantha isn't here in person or Jim isn't here in person, it's still
or
a chance
at all today
that we get – yeah, fuck you, Jim.
Jim.
We get a chance to sit and talk.
Yeah.
It's only an hour, but it's an hour that we can – shoot the shit, mm-hmm. whether it's we're just joking back and forth or there's something really serious that we need to get off our chest and discuss. It is therapeutic in a lot of ways.
Because it's just a good conversation.
Let it go, dude.
No! No, that's the name of the episode, you fucker. No. Well, and again, it's one of those things, too, where it's like everything that comedian said was absolutely on point. The one thing I always felt like Facebook was, because it was really my first social media I ever joined. I always used to tell people it's a valid excuse to not talk to the people you're supposed to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're friends. We follow each other. I scan through my Facebook. I see their posts. I breeze past. I heart it, and I don't have to talk to them about it. You know,
yeah,
it's
I like
one.
Post, well, so they know I saw it. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too.
I share the links to their YouTube page. You know, and I don't have to talk to them.
Yeah. The other thing that's on that, though, is that you're making the assumption that Facebook is letting you see that friend's post, too.
That's another thing, too. I know for a fact that out of the friends that I have, if I message that friend, I will see their posts, like on a regular basis. If I don't message them or I don't like something that they, you know, put up, I will perpetually see less and less of their posts. And then I get a it's kind of funny because the wife and I, we basically have the same friend group, but my wife is very stingy about likes. So she tends to get a much broader spectrum of her friends list that she sees. Yep. And she's like, oh, did you see so-and-so's post today? I was like, no.
Yep.
Fuck, I could have scrolled all day. I wouldn't have found it. And well, again, it's kind of fucked up for that reason. But again, I always thought it was a valid excuse to not have to talk to the people you call your friends and or family.
Well, because, you know, the thing is, again, not to be Debbie Downer here, but Facebook is a corporation. They want you to use their product because the more time you're on their product, the more advertisements get viewed and the more they can sell.
Right.
So what Facebook does, I don't know if you remember this, but there used to be a point where Facebook had a setting which was best for you or chronological. And you could click on a chronological and it would just show you everything. But it wanted you to use that best for you. And so what Facebook does is they go through and they look at your content that you like, you know, the likes you do or the things you click on. And then those feed, you know, those feeds that that they view you like, they're going to push more of that to you because they want you to stay on their channel
right.
longer. That's why, like, if I post something natively to so like All Things E, I have to make a decision every time I post a video on YouTube or on Facebook for All Things E, which is, okay, do I want to try to grow my Facebook community right now, or do I want to try to get a few more views to my YouTube channel? Because if I post the video natively to YouTube, to Facebook, I post it to Facebook, I upload it to Facebook, normally the number of views that video gets is 2 to 3 times higher than if I just post the URL to the YouTube video. And the reason that is because if someone who follows my page clicks on that URL, it takes them to YouTube, and Facebook does not want people to leave their platform. And
it's
so,
like Michael Eisner with Disney World. He just didn't want people to leave site. He wanted them to stay on site.
Yep.
Like, they don't need to go anywhere for anything ever because it's all right here.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been interesting over the last couple of years. I'll tell you, if you really want to like lose all faith in like technology and social media and all of those stuff, become
Definitely.
A content creator that you try to get your shit seen by and then fucking,
yeah.
you know, care about it because, you know, it gets real frustrating. You know?
Can I share with you guys a little secret that I've kind of stumbled upon?
Stop giving a fuck.
Please.
If you want to see less advertisers on your Facebook feed, mark every advertisement that you see as offensive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's not bad.
I have so few advertisements.
Dornbecker's Children Hospital. That's offensive. Shriners.
No,
that's offensive.
Your feed is like you get so much and then there's a commercial. And
right.
But every time there's an advertisement on my feed, I mark it as offensive. I have so few advertisements on my feed. And the moment I see an ad more than once, like when I refresh, I will mark it as offensive.
I am offended, sir.
It's repetitive or offensive. If it's from a company I like or I follow or something, I'll just mark it as repetitive.
Right.
But 9 times out of 10, I'll mark it as offensive. I have almost no advertising on my feed.
That's amazing.
And even when you turn off like the ad tracker stuff, you still get inundated with so much crap.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You could turn it off, and it's still there.
But if you're offended by everything, they will not put advertising on there because
this is just a no sell. And I don't want that fucker calling me offensive. Just trying to help the kids out over here.
And it wasn't, I didn't do it like on purpose. It's just something I've noticed lately that is like, I have so little advertising.
Nice.
And I think it's because I'm offended, sir.
I am.
Be gone with you.
I will say Facebook has learned me well enough to where it's like a lot of my friends that I have who are very politically biased, particularly, I just never commented or made any mention to it. I just kind of scroll past. The stuff that I do make mention of is like, you know, Star Trek shit posting, because they post a lot of funny stuff that makes me laugh. So I'll put the laugh and stuff like that. And I get nothing. Like, there was a couple of days where I was scrolling through and every fucking post I was throwing up was laughing face. Because it was just nothing but funny shit was coming across my feed, and I was like, this is awesome. I'm okay with this.
Oh, yeah. I follow Strange Secondhand Finds.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Oh, that group is so much fun.
Yeah, they're cool.
So where's the All Things E group?
Why don't you form it?
I don't want to be responsible for
that.
We have a Facebook page.
I know, but now you need a discussion group where we can make fun of Dante.
I mean, this is a terrible idea.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, we should
brilliant.
Just make a Reddit thread.
Yeah, there you go.
Have you guys ever looked to see if there is a Reddit thread about you?
Oh, there's not.
There is not, no. Although I do
post... We're not that popular.
No, I do post videos up there, though. So.
I'm curious.
A couple, too.
How long did it take you guys, like, when you first started the YouTube channel for All Things E, did you ever actually do a day where you're just like, fuck it, I'm not looking at comments and I'm not looking at how many downvotes we get?
You know, I think so. It's sort of a weird thing. Like when you start your YouTube channel, you're so small that like, nobody, the only people seeing your content are your friends. And so they're not going to shit talk you, you know?
Fair enough.
So, like, so it's like, at least in our experience was, or my experience was that, like, originally, you know, you just get all of these people who are praising and supporting you and liking your videos. And then slowly over time, as your reach starts to build, that's when some of that other stuff starts cropping up. And it hurts at first. Like, there was, you know, we've talked about the troll on that channel.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was a kick to the crotch, man. I opened up my YouTube, you know, notice, and like suddenly I had like, you know, 70 downvotes. And it was all from this one fucker logging into every video and, you know, it comes down.
The thing to remember about, yeah,
right.
The thing to remember about that number of five is that YouTube is really looking at a percentage portion or a ratio of your upvotes to downvotes or likes to dislikes. So since we have a small number of likes because we're a small channel, this guy actually is doing a significant portion of damage, because if our video only has 30 likes and he downvotes it by five, we've got a ratio of like 1-6, as opposed to like most of the time it's like 20-30-1 or even higher than that. And so I definitely really remember like David getting really kind of frustrated about having this experience, because it was, and then I think he did the right thing by turning it into
a thing,
a bit. Yeah,
that it was beautiful,
anthropomorphizing his issues with him and just being like, fuck it, man, if you're gonna act like this with me, then I'm gonna use you, I'm gonna turn you into beneficial energy and not let you drag me down.
That is 100% the way to go. Something we've been dealing with, and I actually just looked this weekend to find out if there was something we could do. One of the things that we've talked about on the show a bunch is that we have no idea if anyone's listening.
Well, except you guys, but honestly, you haven't been current, so I mean, you know.
You know what?
No, no. David hasn't been current.
Yeah, David hasn't been current.
David
dick.
Is now current. P.S. I have gone through every episode. I have listened to all three of the current Homestead episodes. Very nice job, everyone, by the way.
Thank you. Okay, you're not a dick.
But I digress. Go ahead with your shit-talking of me.
Hey, you'll notice we didn't throw you under the bus for the incident that happened after the show.
Oh, you mean the live
show? Shut up!
Let's just move along. Just move along.
At least you didn't plug the wrong show.
I was engaged in meaningful conversation on my way to the restaurant.
I was having a conversation.
A good conversation.
Good conversation.
This has and been I a may good have conversation. Lost.
That's the title of the episode right there.
Well, it has to be now. We've done it so much.
Yeah!
I was going to call it Deflated Betty White, but okay.
That one's good, too.
That's a good starter, but not a good finisher.
That's the tagline, a good conversation.
About a deflated Betty White.
There you go.
By the way, Samantha, I really have to applaud your art for the episode Sex Would Have Been Less Awkward.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was so good.
See, I can't use imagery like that for radio hours, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to get weird with this.
That's the way we like it, Sam. Mm.
Anyway, someone was making a point about something.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys were talking about reach.
One of the things is now that Homestead is a thing, I kind of want to track it. I kind of want to see if people are paying attention. Our current setup has no analytics.
Yeah.
I cannot check, and I just checked the other day when I posted the new episode to see if maybe I was missing it.
Uh-huh.
There are no analytics available for WordPress. Huh. I actually have to go and I have to download something and probably subscribe and pay more money to find analytics. Now, I haven't gone into iTunes to see if I can check there.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
I believe iTunes has analytics. We might think about moving to something like Libsyn, so.
Yeah, it's something that we need to consider moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the addition of Homestead, which I think is going to become its own thing
Oh yeah, for sure.
From the very little, and again, we're only three episodes in. They only go once a month, but from the very little feedback I am getting,
a lot of salty people that they have to wait a month for another episode. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, you know, people could be posting those comments on Facebook and let us know that they are listening. But I think
it's just my mom and the president of our fan club.
We don't even have a fan club, so you guys are ahead of us.
Yeah, well, he's the president of one.
Your mom's not even a fan.
No. She just accepts everything that I do and just says, did you really have to do that, honey? It's like,
well,
no.
Let me ask you this question.
Mother's
because this is
supportive.
Something that I think, especially as you're talking about Homestead, this is something that we've had to think a lot about, which is, so at the end of the day, when at least I think, and maybe Tracy and Austin don't agree with me, we've never specifically had this conversation, but
until now.
Now's the
until
time.
Now. This is good. Maybe this is the end of all things.
Hold on!
So the question that I kind of constantly struggle with is when you are making a creative content like a podcast that's a story, right? Or like All Things Z that has a storyline, how much feedback do I really want or need from that? Because ultimately, the decision that we try to make consistently is what entertains us. You know, what do we find funny? What do we like?
And
not worry necessarily about what the audience says. And so, you know, I can tell you there are certain things that if I put it out, I know we're going to get less views. And I try not to let that impact me, but I think it does. So what are you going to do with that knowledge once you get it, right?
And this is a discussion we've had on the show. This is something that I think about for myself. There are two sides to this coin. It would be nice to know if people are listening.
Right.
I don't care if people are listening to this, but Homestead, as a creator of a storyline,
right.
I would actually like to know, because in the future, if I choose to make it bigger,
right,
it would be nice to know to
you
be
have
able
an
to
audience.
Take, it would be nice to be able to take the numbers and show it to someone and say, look, this is what I've done on my own.
How can you help?
How can you help?
Right.
Sure.
Well, what I usually tell people when it comes to stuff like this, because we wrestle with this with Radio Hour all the time, you know, we're coming up on year five and we work really hard at it. When it depends on your end goal. Are you with how much feedback you want? I don't believe that you should ever kowtow to an audience, you know.
Agreed.
But there is a fine line that you have to ride between doing fully.
Someone sleeping?
I'm sorry?
Dog? It sounds like somebody with emphysema.
What is happening?
It sounds like someone is snoring. I thought it was Austin for a minute.
Tracy, are you still awake?
I would not. I know. I'm sitting here snorting.
I seriously thought like we had put Austin to sleep.
I love how we jumped directly to Austin. Just like, yes. This is the guy that has the snoring problem.
Yeah, it's because of how big my ego is.
And she's
asleep.
That's fair.
I'm sorry, Austin, but I hadn't heard from you in a while.
So, I feel so bad now.
As you fucking should.
You know, the funny thing about that is, so I was like, is Austin trying to make comment on his feeling about this conversation?
God damn it. His way to interject is to snort into the mic.
No, I mean that in the most, like, that is the most, like, complimentary thing I could think of. Because the thing I appreciate so much about Austin is he will find the best way to insert himself into something like we've done viewings of, like, All Things E in front of, like, big groups of people, and they asked us to bring the puppets. And so Austin, like, MSTK3 the whole thing. And, like, Tracy and I are sitting there, we're like, shut up, Austin, you're going to get us kicked out of here.
I'm not here.
It was awesome.
I feel so bad that it's just, as I hear snoring and I just immediately go to Austin.
Yeah, it's fine. No, I'll just hide behind Snark. It's fine. No
worries. Good man. Good man.
Austin, you know I love you, right?
Oh, I know. Well, being a guy, you know.
As you should feel the love. The one thing I will say, though, just from my piddly aspect of this, because again, I'm not actually the creator. I'm just kind of a participant in everything, really. My way of thinking about it.
You're kind of a creator now.
Well, yeah, kind of, but still,
you're not going to get your name on the.
No, and I don't want it on there. But it's one of those things where it's like, if I found out how many people were listening to us, honestly, my mentality would be the same of glad somebody likes it, and if they don't like it. Fuck you, stop watching, or stop listening. And again, my mentality is so passive because I'm not an active creator of these things. I'm merely along for the ride. So I get to be the guy in the background who goes, oh, you didn't like it? Fuck you, have a good day. You know, and I'm okay with that, and I can walk away from it. But the creative aspect of it, that it would hit a little bit harder, I would imagine, because this is your baby.
Well, here's the thing. I've done stuff and put stuff out there. And I know that things that I create are not everyone's cup of tea. I understand that, you know, someone may not like it.
If you don't like it, fuck you.
And they may need to vent and say, oh, that was garbage. I get that. That rolls off my back.
Right.
I understand trolls. That crap doesn't bother me.
Right.
Now, if someone comes and says, hey, I didn't like it because this and this and this and this, and allows me the chance to
argue the point.
Well, not argue, but discuss, and so I can understand where they're coming from. And maybe I can, you know,
change their perception,
broaden their view of, hey, that's not what I was going for. I was going for this, you know, point it out. That's great, because then it's like, okay, I still don't like the episode, but now I understand it.
It opens the possibility for a good conversation.
But here's my biggest worry with knowing people are listening to it and the numbers. I feel, for me creatively, if I know that there's an audience and there's a large audience, part of me as a creator is going to want to please that audience. And I think when you try and please the audience and not yourself, your content changes. And the reason that they came and enjoyed your content, when it changes, it might alienate them.
Don't worry, James. I'll never let you slip that way, because I'm going to constantly remind you, if they don't like it, fuck them.
Well, and that's the thing.
That's one of the things I was going to try to drive at, was there's a difference between kowtowing to your audience and doing what they want and taking criticism and making a conscious decision to go in a direction or take an episode in a direction that your audience might want. So it depends on your end goal as to how much feedback you want. And
it's just every time you come up,
every time Sam comes on, we get the story. What's going on here?
She's making this great point, and we can't pay attention because we
somebody's fucking snoring. What in the actual fuck?
Like, I have an actual point to make. Shira, stop snoring.
Wake up, dog. Wake
up. Now get the fuck off.
Out, like, my leg is asleep. I sent a picture to the,
damn
to
it,
the
Shira.
Group chat, but I'll post it on our Facebook. And I'll be like, this is
God
the snoring.
Damn it, Shira.
I need to see
pain
this
in
picture
the ass.
Right now.
Proceed with your point, though, Sam.
Try to, anyway.
Make efforts.
Like, I just pause, and all I hear is giggling.
And Danny and I were trying so
I was
hard.
I even tried to tell James to shut the fuck up.
Look at that.
Oh, it's so adorable.
Just bring the microphone over near this, like, little store in Grandpa or something. He's like, I'm going to say something really, I hope you don't mind Grandpa's tears.
Good grief.
I feel like numb.
The feeling's never coming back into
it. I feel like you gave these guys a great storyline. Like, Dante could be making just this great point, and Snark falls asleep.
I think we've done that before.
That's fair.
Oh, man. Guys, this is run a little long.
But it's been awesome.
Not that I really give a shit, but I know Danny has to get going because
I have bedtime.
He's gotta go to bed.
I gotta go to bed. It's sheepy time. I'm a sheepy sheepy.
But as always, you guys are always welcome. Anytime you want to come on and just BS with us, or you got something to promote, you want to get out there. We only have an audience of two, but that's still two people.
It's a solid two.
Hey, two is two.
Yeah,
it's my best friend Drew and my mom.
I'm not gonna look a gift rat. I mean, gift horse in the mouth.
You shut your filthy mouth.
Now you
who are you calling a dirty rat?
Now you wake up.
Don't you?
Now you're awake. She's awake now.
Of
someone
course,
said rat.
Yeah. Rat! Huh?
What?
Pretty much.
Well, guys, it has been wonderful speaking to you all, and we've had such a wonderful conversation that I really look forward to next time we get to hang out and do this again.
This has been a good conversation.
A good conversation.
Thanks, guys.
We will see you guys in like 2 weeks.
Woo!
Sounds good.
Check out All Things Z on YouTube. Subscribe.
Fucking do it.
That's right.
And
we don't promote shit we don't like.
They are hands down the best YouTube channel on YouTube.
Thumbs up all of their videos.
Yeah. Upvote, you fuckers.
Even when Austin's snoring.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, guys.
Hopefully we'll have Big Jim next week, and we'll talk to you then. Bye!
Bye! Bye! Bye!
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.